I have to stop and catch my breath a little bit after that challenging song, but that sounded really great. That was one of my dad's favorite songs whenever we did singings, and always enjoy singing that. Appreciate Elijah leading it. We're going to continue today in our study that we're doing once a month on the book of Proverbs. And so this morning we are going to talk about the subject of anger. Anger. And so as we have pointed out before, the main effort in Proverbs is Solomon teaching his son how to have a good life. Solomon certainly sees fit to speak about the need to control anger. Just this past week, one of my friends on Facebook from out of town, she posted that she witnessed a complete meltdown at the DMV. And I don't know why anybody would get upset at the DMV, but so I commented on that. I said, "Well, they made me so angry. I'm sorry you had to witness that." So, just tongue in cheek, because I don't even live in the same town. It was obviously not me that she was talking about. So everybody got a good laugh out of my comment. But hey, I can remember a few times at the DMV when things didn't go the way that I wanted to, and I had stood in line for a long time only to find out that there was something that I didn't know that I was supposed to have that they wanted, and then you have to go do that and start all over. So there are lots of proverbs about the subject of anger. And I don't think many of us doubt that this is a serious issue, or that it adversely can affect people's lives in very many different ways. But when you look at the wisdom literature, there's certainly a lot that is said to explain the effects of uncontrolled anger. And the idea in the Proverbs is that it should be controlled, that it is something that is necessary. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 16, it says, "A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but a fool rages and is confident. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated." And so what we see is that, first of all, we want to look at the effects of uncontrolled anger. You know, so what if we are angry and hot-headed? What difference does that make? Well, one of the effects that is mentioned here in chapter 14 is that the person that has uncontrolled anger behaves foolishly. He acts foolishly. Well, is that true? Is somebody that is soon angry and a person that is going to act foolishly? Well, yes. Many times when somebody is angry, it causes them to do things that they shouldn't do. I think we live in a time today when people can get angry very quickly about things that may be very minor. We hear about road rage, or we hear about people going postal. If I said somebody went postal, you'd know what I was talking about, right? That people in the post office have in the past have, there's been violent problems. And so a road rage is very evident what that is, because we all feel it from time to time when somebody cuts you off. Or my dad famously, in our family, on the road, he'd be behind somebody that couldn't decide if they wanted to merge. They're trying to come in from a side road, and he said, "It says yield, not surrender." And so that was the thing that he always said. I always thought that was hysterical, but and he'd say other things. Grandma was slow, but she was old, and frankisms that would be said all the time. And so he was not a patient person when it came to driving. And when we talk about road rage, that's because a lot of people have the same problem. But What do we do about that? Should we as Christians, you know, be guilty of having that kind of attitude? Well, certainly not. And the wise writer says, uncontrolled anger brings out foolishness. It reveals foolishness. And we certainly know the truth of that by looking at ourselves and looking at what we see in the world. Now, I've seen, you know, some people that if somebody cuts them off in traffic, they'll go and follow that person, or they'll go and tailgate them and try to go, you know, cut them off too, to show them how it feels. And, you know, is that a good response? Well, certainly not. And so foolish to chase after somebody who cuts you off, or the illustration I used at the beginning, the person that rages against the person at the DMV, is that going to be helpful? Yeah, probably not. When one of the last times that I was flying, I saw somebody getting off of a plane, and they were just screaming at the top of their lungs at one of the airport employees. I don't know what had happened, if they didn't have enough room for their legs in their seat, or what it was that they were so upset about, but everybody in the airport knew that they were upset. And did it help resolve the issue? You know what it made them look? It made them look foolish. It made them look foolish, because them screaming at the top of their lungs probably was not helping the situation of whatever it was that they were upset about. So Solomon says, we look like fools when we can't control ourselves. And we've all seen that, haven't we? And maybe we've seen it in ourselves. And I wish that I could say, oh, well, this, it's nice for me to preach on something that never been my problem. No, I can, unfortunately, I can look at myself and think of times that I have foolishly gotten upset and angry about something, and I know that it made me look foolish, because I was acting foolish. And Solomon says, don't do that. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29 says, whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly. And there you see that again, the quick-tempered person, the quickly angry person is the one that's foolish, shows folly. But the one that is patient is the one that is commended here. And so, be patient, and you have great understanding. So, the effects of uncontrolled anger: you look foolish, you act foolish, because you're being foolish. Also, obviously, the person that has uncontrolled anger is causing strife. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 22, a man of wrath stirs up strife, and one given to anger causes much transgression. Another version says, an angry man stirs up strife, and a hot-tempered man commits many sins. So, what's that saying? What does anger do with relationships? How does it affect your work? How does it affect the people that you are around? Have you ever worked with somebody who was labeled a hothead, or somebody that had a reputation that you've got to walk on eggshells around this person because they wear their feelings on their sleeves, and they are going to get upset at the drop of a hat, and you never know what it is that is going to set them off. You just need to steer clear of this person. And we understand that hopefully that's not the way people are describing me. I don't want that to be the case. So what is being said here is that this causes strife. It causes problems. Verse 18 of chapter 15, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11, good sense makes one slow to anger, and it is to his glory to overlook an offense. And so our anger does not resolve problems with other people. You know, when is the last time that you can think of that an outburst of wrath made the sales clerk at Walmart do better? You know, whatever it was that you wanted. Did that help? You know, when is the last time your outburst of wrath brought about everything you wanted, or it brought about the apology or change in behavior of somebody that you wanted? Anger almost always escalates situations into contentious trials, and that's what is being said here. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 33 says, "For as churning the milk produces butter, and as twisting the nose produces blood, so stirring up anger produces strife." We know how true this is, because when we churn butter at home, we experience this ourselves. Well, we all understand that churning milk is going to produce butter. Maybe we've never seen that happen. Maybe we've seen it on TV, but this is really a great illustration, even if you haven't made butter. Solomon uses this illustration of cause and effect. So you're going to make butter by churning milk. And the more graphic illustration here, using the same proverb, twisting the nose produces blood. I don't suggest that everybody try that right now. But what this is saying is the stirring up of anger is going to cause problems. Just like stirring up the milk causes butter, twisting your nose makes blood, and being an angry person fixes everything. That's not what is said. It causes problems. Another problem that you have with uncontrolled anger is that the person that is prone to that, the wise writer says, he can't be taught. He cannot be taught. Proverbs 19, verse 19, "A man of great wrath will pay the penalty, for if you deliver him, you will only have to do it again." Isn't that interesting? So this proverb is very telling. What it's saying is that there is no hope for the fool. There is, the Proverbs repeatedly tell us that it is a terrible situation to be the foolish one. You see that repeated over and over in Proverbs, that you don't want to be the one that is considered to be foolish. And the person who has uncontrolled anger is this way. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 20 says, "Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him." Do you know those that you might say of them, you never have to wonder what they're thinking? What do they mean by that? They mean that everything that comes to their mind comes out of their mouth. Everything that they think, they're going to tell you. You don't ever have to wonder what they're thinking, because maybe there's a lot of shock value in what it is that they say. And I have particularly noticed this as we get older. Sometimes we feel like, we've been around so long, and we have so much wisdom as we get older, that we ought to just tell everybody what they need to hear. And sometimes it's just failure of the brain, or as people develop some dementia. I had a conversation with somebody recently that has a family member with some dementia. So there's a problem there that they're not able to control themselves. And so that's a little bit different than those of us that can control ourselves. But when you see somebody that has a problem, with their body or with their brain, where they can't control their outbursts, where they can't control what they're saying, does that usually make things better or worse? Well, it's going to make them worse. This particular person told me that they never know what this person is going to say in Bible class, because that they're not restrained because they're starting to develop dementia. But what I'm talking about here is not somebody who can't control what they're doing. They're just not in control. And the wise writer saying the person who's hasty in his words, you know, well, what's the opposite of that? It's obvious, isn't it? The person who's not hasty in their words, it's more measured in what they say. They think about what they say before it rolls out of their mouth. And how many times do things roll out of our mouth and we wish they hadn't? Because we see the result of that. So, Psalmist says, the person that's this way, there's more hope of a fool for a fool than for the person who can't control his mouth. And so, you know, anger certainly, you know, fits this qualification, because uncontrolled anger is reactionary. It does not calmly deal with situations, and if we decide that we're justified in our uncontrolled anger, then wise writer said there's really not any hope for you. Chapter 19 and verse 19 says, a hot-tempered man must pay the penalty. If you rescue him, you will have to do it again. And this proverb is telling you that this person doesn't learn from their mistakes. There's no point in giving help to the hot-tempered person because they're not in control of themselves and they're going to do this over and over. Another thing that's typical of uncontrolled anger is he is defenseless. Well, what does that mean? You know, Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28 says, a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. Certainly, there's a lot of talk about walls these days, and so what does a wall do? It keeps something inside, or it keeps something that's outside from getting inside. And that's the purpose of a wall. Have you ever, you know, gone by a yard that's totally fenced in except for the one part of the wall that's not, you know, that's broken? We pass by one every day when we go home from church services. We pass by this house that something has fallen on that portion of the wall, and it's been broken for, I don't know, probably a year or more. What's the purpose of that fence? What is it doing? Well, it's not keeping the dogs in. It's not keeping things from getting in. You might as well not have a fence at all if there's going to be a part of it that's broken and not working. And so this is the illustration that's used here to describe the man who has no self-control. He's like a broken wall. A city that's broken into and left without walls. And so that is of no value to the city. The city is defenseless. It's open for attack. And in the same way, by lacking self-control, it shows that we have no defense. And we're open to the charge that we're not what we ought to be. That we are not, you know, the disciple of Christ that we should be. And so, let's get control of our emotions. And when we're not in control of that, certainly Satan has found a weakness in our wall. And we're not in control as we should be. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32 says, whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Another thing that is unfortunately true of uncontrolled anger is it's contagious. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 24, do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. We covered this verse in a previous lesson on Proverbs, where we talked about the value of friends and friendship. And one of the points that we made is, who do you want to be friends with, or who should you be friends with? Well, you know, what happens when you have bad friends? Your parents always told you to be careful about who it was that you hung around with, or if you came home and said something that they had never heard before, they want to know who you were around and where did you hear that. And so, anger is that way. It is contagious. It says, do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Why? The hot-tempered man doesn't need any friends? Why is that? that we shouldn't make friends with a hot-tempered man. What tells us? You may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. You are going to become like that you are associating with. And we know that to be true in so many different ways. A proverb is a really important thing here for us to dwell on, especially these that talk about things that hit us where we live, and especially those that tell us that things are learned. Anger is a learned trait, and that's why Solomon says not to spend time with a hot-tempered and easily angry person. That you'll learn to have those same kind of traits. And many times, most of the time, our children become like us. And whatever it is that we do and we say and how we react, our children become that way. So if we have outbursts of wrath, should we be surprised when we see that happening with other people in our family? No, you shouldn't be surprised about that at all. New King James Version says it sets a snare for your soul, that you're putting your soul in jeopardy when you associate with those who have a hot temper, because you're setting a snare for yourself. You're going to become like that. And certainly, if we are that way, we're setting a snare for our children when we teach them this is the way you ought to be. So, reasons to control anger. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32 says, "Whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules the spirit than he who takes a city." And so, one thing that controlling your anger does, it shows strength. Haven't you noticed that about some people? That I can't believe that happened to them and that they reacted so calmly. And when we see that, I mean, how did you do that? And they said, "Well, I'm taking meds." You know, no. How is it that you can not react? Well, maybe they're a spiritually minded person who has read the Proverbs and they're trying not to be on edge all the time. And certainly this is a great compliment that is given here. The person who's slow to anger is better than the mighty. The person who rules the spirit than he who captures a city. And so these things that seem to be great feats, like capturing a city, would be something impressive. But the person who can control his tongue, can control his anger, is better than that conqueror. Because they've conquered something that a lot of people can't. And so strength of character is greater than strength in muscle, is what this is saying. We have great respect and appreciation of those that can control themselves. And we also receive great respect and appreciation by others when they can see our strength to control our emotions. If somebody says, "How can you stay so calm?" You know, that should be a compliment, and that you, and maybe something's eating you up inside and you have to deal with that too. But if you are outwardly reacting to everything, that's bad. And if you're inwardly torn up about things, there's other problems to solve. But we need to control our anger, whether it's outside or inside. So it shows strength, and it also shows wisdom. Proverbs 15, verse 23, "A man who has joy in an apt answer, and how delightful is a timely word." And so this same wisdom is and having the ability to say the right thing in a difficult situation. And you know, rather than reacting, we calmly and rationally speak. I'll tell you just a quick little story about someone that Jarrell and I have a great deal of admiration for. He works with Florida College, and he's in a leadership role. And there were some things a few years ago with the camp directors, and there was no small division among the camp directors about something that Florida College wanted to do in terms of software. And so, you know, people were expressing their opinion about that, and I thought, oh boy, how are you going to navigate this? And he was so good at diffusing this and speaking in such a way that, you know, calmed everybody down. Because I was thinking, if I was very frustrated with the whole conversation because I was thinking about, you all are missing the point, and you know, if you would think about this, you would see why they want to go in this direction. And I know one size doesn't fit all for all the cancer. So I was thinking all the things that I would have said, which probably would not have diffused the situation at all. And so Jarrell's nickname for this person is Perfect Adam Olson. Because he always, and not meant in a derogatory way, but she really means it when she says that he always knows what to say in a contentious environment. And so when there are problems, when there are people that are bickering, when there are people that are disagreeing, are you the one that is described by the wise writer as the person that shows wisdom, the person that makes an apt answer, the person that knows what to say to de-escalate a situation? Or are you the person that, oh, I've got a can of gasoline over here and I'm going to put that on the fire and you make something that was bad worse? Wisdom to say the right thing in a difficult situation is a great trait. And if you can do that, Jarrell will call you perfect as well. So Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29 says, he who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. And so slow to anger great is acquainted with great understanding. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 3, it says, it is one's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. If you're quick to quarrel, that's not a badge of honor. Badge of honor is the person that is going to avoid strife. That doesn't mean that you're avoiding things and sweeping things under the rug that need to be addressed. This is talking about the person that is prone to make bad situations and angry situations and making strife. But the, you know, every fool can do that. Every fool can be the person that gets angry in traffic. Every fool can be the one that blows up in the DMV. Every fool can be the one that gets angry with people in places of business. And so we've just read a number of Proverbs that tells us how anger brings about strife. And so we need to pay attention to these ones that tell us how to control it or why it's important to control it. So Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11 says, a person with good sense is slow to anger, and it is to his credit that he overlooks an offense. So some practical things. How to restrain anger. Know the outcome of a hot answer. Proverbs 15, verse 1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And I have been at the feed and seen many people that are very good at this, and that are, you know, in sales you call it answering objections. And so there might be, you know, how good are you at answering an objection? How can you turn something that's bad into something good? Well, you know, uncontrolled anger does not achieve the results that you think it will achieve. And so know that it's not going to turn out well. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And we think that our anger is going to cause another person to capitulate and get them to do what it is we want them to do. Well, that didn't happen in the airport that I witnessed. It just made that person look foolish. It didn't accomplish anything. Maybe they felt like they felt better after blowing up at everybody, but normally what happens is it escalates the situation. It stirs up strife. And it certainly causes us not to be thinking the way that we should. So One of the problems is that people think that being an angry person helps them. It helps me to get my way. And if I get angry in the home, it's going to cause my spouse to do what I want them to do, or my children are going to do what I want them to do because they don't want to see me get angry, so I'm going to get angry and so I can get my way. And so what does that accomplish? It causes you to have an atmosphere in the home of conflict and strife, where there's outburst of wrath and uncontrolled anger. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 14 says, "The beginning of strife is like letting out water, so quit before the quarrel breaks out." It's like releasing water. It's like a dam that's broken. And so we are simply making matters worse through anger. But unfortunately, sometimes people have learned that it's a powerful tool to get what they want. And so you may be thinking, "Well, you're wrong, Randy. I don't do this just to get into arguments. I do it so I can get my way." Well, I would not argue with you on that, but do we want to be the person that gets their way through intimidation and fear? Do we want our family to be afraid of us because they know that they're going to get their head taken off if they don't do what we want? And deep down inside, we know that that's not appropriate. That's not what we would want the others to treat us that way. And so, let's understand that we know the outcome of a hot answer. It says it's the beginning of strife. It's the beginning of strife, so quit doing that. It says quit before the quarrel breaks out. Don't destroy relationships because you've decided that you're going to use anger as a tool to get whatever it is the desired outcome. Become slow to anger is the instruction that we know we should do. Proverbs 15, verse 18, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he is slow to anger, quiets contention. We need to become people that are slow to anger. So how is it that we do that? Well, first of all, we need to realize that there is a need for that. That if we don't realize there's a need for that, then we're not ever going to change or do better. And the wisdom literature has a lot to say about it. And unfortunately, whenever it talks about unrestrained anger, it's always associated with the word foolish or fool. And so, God has commanded us to be slow to anger. So, that's good reason to do that. It's also repeated for us. I know we've spent many lessons in the book of James because it's such a practical book. But one of the things that's very appropriate in studies of the book of James is how to control the tongue. And James talks about it's difficult. It's something that is unruly and difficult to tame. James 1:19, "That know this, my beloved brethren, let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." So react less. Listen more and react less is what James is saying. Be swift to hear, quick to hear, and slow to speak. I know we all know this. We know that it's common sense, and we have either been told it all of our lives or we've told it to others, that you just need to be quiet and listen to somebody else. But too many times I know that what I'm doing when I'm listening is thinking about what I'm going to say next. Not really listening. I'm thinking about my next move. So the instruction here is to listen. Unplug your ears and calm down. Anger does not bring about the righteousness of God. And so let's focus on these very, very practical, I'll say very elementary things that we can see in the wisdom literature, because sometimes it is the simplest, most obvious things that we should be doing that trip us up. And I will say, I know that from experience, because there's so many words that I have had to eat in the past, and they're not delicious. I would be better off if I would follow this advice. So I hope this is useful to you and will be an encouragement to you to look at the wisdom literature, see how it can improve your life, as Solomon wanted to improve the life of those he was writing to. It will improve ours as well and help us to be more faithful to God. If we can help in any way, respond to the invitation of Christ, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.
All things are ready. Come to the feast. Come,
for the table now is spread.
That might help us think about how to launch into some kind of gospel message. And you know, when the circumstance is just brief like that, it's probably a good answer, but you're trying to intrigue people to talk. So what if you get an opportunity out of that to study the Bible with somebody, to look into God's Word, and flesh out a thought a little bit? And these sermons that we're studying right now give us some really strong ideas about different directions to go and yet get to the same point, the things that are so needful for people. Because easy to get sidetracked on topics that are not that important. So you want to study the Revelation, but if they don't know anything else about the Bible, they're not going to be able to study that effectively. But you can take that interest that somebody has and see if you can get them to the point of studying and learning about the basic truth of the gospel so they can respond to it. And that's the point of all that. Just to give you a couple ideas to whet your appetite here, something like this current season, we're going to hear more than usual, I guess, comments about the birth of Christ. That will be on people's minds. The things will be said, statements will be made about Jesus and such, and can we prepare ourselves to think about how to respond to that, draw on that, to flesh out the answer to that. I hear people say sometimes, it's a miracle. You know, a baby is born, or somebody healed from an illness, and it's a miracle. You know, miracles are the people that God did there. And something to at least understand that they got some thought about God, and probably start off with that and talk about gospel message there. Just a couple more examples. Evolution is taught in school, and somebody has questions or doubts about what they're being told or taught. A person or death, sometimes said that gone to heaven. That's been the kind of a hopeful message. You want to help somebody to understand better about going to heaven and being saved. A general comment about Jesus. He's our King. He's merciful. Forgiveness of Christ. Cross of Christ, those that come up all the time. I just give you those examples to let your thoughts a little bit about examples you might give me so we can talk about that. I would fully expect that any one of those that you especially for the practical things, it will just spend a few minutes on each one, so we should be able to cover a lot of it. Now, I've never done this before this way with a group, so this is kind of new to me, but I want to take this opportunity to apply what we just studied. We went through the book of Acts, now we look specifically at those sermons, and as soon as we're done with that, how can we use that? So would you please be thinking about that? If you could think, email me or text me or maybe it's a comment, something you heard, kind of wrote down, maybe it's a time when you heard something and you didn't respond because either you didn't know what to say or you didn't think fast enough to say it at the time, or you just didn't feel like you were able to respond in the way. But you thought later, I wish I could have. Maybe we can work on that a little bit. I won't pick anybody out. I'm not interested in pointing out faults or problems with anybody. I'd like some examples because we all have the same thing. But I'd really like to talk about this in your mind and your interest. So if you'll think about that for me, text me, email me, share something with Randy, if I can do it, we'll give you a back today. Share your thoughts and examples. Maybe you have a good example of something that worked for you. Share that with us so we can try to do the same thing. Share that with everybody else. How it. All right, that's my call for that. Okay, I will leave that with you. Now, I might send out a message or two to the whole group as well. Maybe it's an advantage, just a reminder. Like, if we're going to start sending my way, I'll talk to the rest of the guy. So, if you want to study, look at it. All right, I think that's all the announcements that we have. So, let's go to God in prayer.
Our great and glorious Father in heaven, we're so truly thankful that you have chosen to share your wisdom with us through your holy word. Father, we pray that the lessons we learn here, we may apply them to our lives and then share them with those around us. Father, in particular this week, we want to understand anger and how it affects us and how we can overcome it. And be fruitful for you. Father, we pray that you will be with us as we go out into the world this week, that we will have the courage to share your name with those around us, and most importantly, the name of your Son who died upon a cross for us. Suffering such great pain, even though he did not have to, but he chose to do it for us. Father, we're thankful for the blessing of your church, that we have a place, a haven in this world of in times of trial and strife. We pray for those of our number throughout the world who do not have such a place. We pray for those being oppressed. Be with those of our number who are not here today. Speed them back at the next appointed time. And most of all, Father, we always want to remember your Son who died upon that terrible, cruel cross as an atonement for our sin. Help us to always be mindful of the price that was paid for us. And we ask this all in the name of Christ, your Son. Amen.